God, amen. Thank God. Thank God I don't have to worry about the frogs tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Won't you take your Bibles tonight? Turn to Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2. I want to preach this message tonight. Lord, being our helper on a marriage made in heaven. Amen. Genesis chapter number 2. And we're going to look at quite a few scriptures tonight. Let me say this to you while you find your place. If you miss part of the message, the first part, you'll not understand the rest of it. So please, tonight, if you will, give God your undivided attention. And I hope this will be a blessing and a help to your life. Amen. Let me just say that, again, I thank you so much for all the food and just everyone's been so kind and gracious. And my wife's going to be awful mad when I go home and I busted out a 2 pair of pants this week. Literally. Amen. And but I've enjoyed every bite of it. Amen. It's been a blessing. And I love you, church. Thank you for letting us come. Thank you for the good fellowship this week. Amen. We're praying for you. And you do the same for us. Amen. I appreciate your pastor, great man of God and a great friend in the ministry. I love his family, and I hope you'll support him, stay with him. Amen. Even if he has to get on you sometime. That's just God using him to do what God's supposed to do. Amen. All right, everybody all right? Genesis chapter number 2, please. Look with me, beginning at verse number 18. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 18. And the Bible says, Genesis chapter 2, verse number 18, and the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of a man. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Look with me, please, at Genesis chapter number 26. I want you to get something in your mind tonight as we look at this message. I want you to understand that I think most of you will agree with me tonight that people get married today. People come together basically because they have something in common. Amen. People that get married, generally a man marries a woman that has a lot of things that he likes the same as she likes. Amen. They have economics in common, or movies in common, or you know, whatever it is. Music may be in common. They get married. You know what I found out? Usually a thug will marry a thug. Amen. Usually if you find a woman woman that's pure in heart, she'll find a man that's pure in heart. Amen? That's the way God set it up, folks. That's how. How else do you think they came up with this Matchmakers International? Amen? They take all of your attributes and they try to find somebody that lines up with yours. Amen? And when they find two that both had the same things in common, they'll hook you up with one another. Now, that ain't enough. Now, they got probably 15 or 20 different channels you can surf to find the one you like. You may not go to Matchmakers. Maybe some of you go to FarmersOnly.com, amen, or something like that. Maybe some of you, now they've done everything. I was sitting in my chair one day, and I thought, you know what? Wouldn't it be something if I could just get rich hooking Christians together? Next thing I know, I seen an advertisement said, Christian Mingles, amen, or something like that. I thought, dear God, somebody thought of it just 2 minutes before I did. I'm always like that, amen? But people marry those according to what they have in common. Everybody all right? Amen. Now, in Genesis chapter 26 and verse number 34, I believe. Genesis 26 and verse 34, the Bible says, and Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite. Now that's strange. He found two that was in common with him. And that's not God's will. Amen. For your life, God, it's God's will for you to have one wife for life or one husband for life. Now we understand it don't always work that way, and for different circumstances, whatever, you know, if she might depart or he might depart or they may die, you know how the thing goes. And I'm not here tonight cracking on divorce. I'm just trying to tell you how things really are. That's the way life is. Amen. It don't always play a good hand to you. Amen. Man, sometimes it don't work out. And sometimes he lied about being in common. And sometimes he lied about being in common. Are you with me tonight? But they'll try their best to find somebody with something in common. The Bible says, look at verse number 35. Which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. That's his parents. Amen. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying here, knuckleheads marry knuckleheads. Are you with me tonight? Amen. This is in this picture here, a sorry man is marrying sorry women. Amen. A good for nothing man is marrying good for nothing women. Amen. I'm just telling you what it says here. And they were a grief to Isaac and Rebekah. Look at Judges, please. Chapter number 14. Everybody okay? Judges chapter number 14 and verse number 1. Judges 14, verse number 1. This is about Samson. The Bible says, and Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Not supposed to do that. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, coward, get her for me to wife. He wasn't man enough. He had to get mom and daddy to go take care of it. Watch. Look at verse 3. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. God said there was pleasure in sin for a season. But seasons come to an end. Amen. You say, was Samson a good guy or was he a bad guy? Yes. Amen. I'm just saying, bar hoppers usually wind up with bar hoppers. Amen? I mean, you can say what you want to. That's just generally. Dancers wind up with dancers. Amen? Honky-tonkers wind up. Listen, and couples that pray and seek God wind up with folks that pray and seek God. Amen? Everybody all right? You find folks that maybe they like honky tonk music together. That's where they met, in a honky tonk. Amen. Maybe two met in a disco. People will find something in common, and that's why they get married.
Amen.
Get married if you're a church man, church woman, and you love God and you put God first in your life. That's what you ought to be looking for.
Right. Right.
Amen. I'm just trying to help you. Everybody okay? Somebody said at one time, there's somebody for everybody. Isn't that right? I don't know. I'm just telling you what I heard. Amen. You look at this guy and you say, man, how could anybody love him?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you look at her and say, oh, I see.
Yeah.
You figure it out pretty quick, amen? And before you laugh too much, somebody got you.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
People are drawn together on a basis of what they have in common. Amen? If you want, ladies, listen. Girls, if you want a man that's pure of heart, then you ought to be pure of heart. If you want a man that walks with God and reads this book, you ought to walk with God and read this book. Everybody all right? Amen? I'm just trying to tell you, folks, that's the way it was. Now, can we just look at something here for a minute? I want to show you something very interesting. And we'll look at a few scriptures in the Word of God. Go to the New Testament, and I want to show you some peculiar things that Jesus did during his ministry. I go to John chapter 4, please. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter number 4, if you don't mind. John chapter number 4. Everybody all right? John chapter 4, and let's begin verse number 3. John chapter 4, verse number 3. And he left Judea, talking about Jesus, and departed again to Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied in his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Now watch, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. You know what this woman's saying? Hey, look. What are you talking to me for?
Yeah.
We don't have anything in common.
Right. Right.
There's no reason why you ought to be having this conversation with me. Verse 10 says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Amen. You understand what I'm saying tonight? Jews would not speak to Samaritans. They were half-breeds. They wouldn't touch them. They wouldn't come near them. Amen. And now here's Jesus, and he's sitting on a well, and he's talking to this woman. By the way, that she's already tried marriage 5 times, and she couldn't make it work, and now she's living with somebody she's not married to.
Yeah.
That's what he said. Amen.
Yeah.
And And everybody around is going to wonder, why in the world does he have anything to do with her? They have nothing in common. Matter of fact, let me show you. I'm going to prove it to you. Look at verse 27. The Bible says, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? Amen. I mean, she is shagged up. She's made a mess of her life. She's indecent. She's a fornicator. She's not moral. Amen. She's a harlot and an adulteress on top of that. And yet, here's Jesus talking with this woman. Amen. I don't think you understand what I'm saying. Go with me. Look at John chapter 8, please. While we're here in John, look at chapter 8. John chapter 8. I don't know about you, but it looks like he might be up to something. Amen. John chapter number 8. This woman, just like, almost like the woman at the well, this woman's worthy of death. She ought to be killed. Look at John chapter 8, please. Verse 1. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again to the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. I mean, you say, what are you saying, preacher? They are shocked. They are shocked at what he's fixing to do for her. You think, well, if he's ever had an excuse to condemn somebody to hell, now's his chance. These people that are following him around, these scribes and Pharisees, they're holy and righteous. Mostly self-righteous. You understand? They try to be right with God in every aspect of their law. Are you with me? And now he's fixing to astonish them, because he's fixing to let this woman go free, amen, that has been caught absolutely in the act of adultery. It gives the infidels reason to argue for the next 2,000 years. Everybody all right? Amen. I'm just trying to hit. Look, go back. Mark chapter 16, please. Mark chapter 16. Isn't that peculiar? I'm trying to hurry, folks. I want to get to the message. Look at Mark chapter 16, please. In Mark chapter number 16. Amen. Stay with me. Mark chapter number 16. And look at verse number 9. Mark 16, 9 says, now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. I don't know if you know this or not, but Jesus Christ has nothing in common with devils. And yet, the first one to meet him when he's risen was Mary Magdalene. This woman that was filled with, do you think when they met, she was using proper language with seven devils? Do you think she might have been saying things she shouldn't have said? Do you think she might have been doing things she shouldn't have been doing? You think that she was under control of her tongue? Amen. Hello? You think her habits and her vocabulary is what attracted him? That ain't what attracted him to her, amen? Are you with me tonight? It just seems to me it's kind of peculiar. So far, he's hung out with the woman at the well. He's been over there in John 8 with the woman that committed adultery. Now he's casting seven devils out of this woman. And God says, hey, hey, you find somebody that's right and marry him. You find somebody in common and marry him. You find somebody that's pure and marry them. You get somebody that's reading the Bible and having a prayer life and marry them. Amen.
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 I think about another woman. This woman had an alabaster box. You know what? She went in there and poured that alabaster box on him, took her hair and wiped his feet. Amen. And there sat Simon over there by the side. And he said, hey, hey. He bumped one up and he said, don't he realize who she is? Don't he know who she is? Don't he understand she's a sinner? What is he doing fooling with her? What is he doing messing with her? He ain't got nothing in common with her. Amen.
Amen.
You know what she, listen to me. You know what she used that alabaster box for? She'd open up the window on a pretty day, set that box out on the window sill and open it up. And men would walk down the street and they'd get a whiff of what was inside, the spices inside that alabaster box. And they would know which door to go to. Everybody all right? Do you understand what I'm saying? What does he have in common with a tramp? What does he have in common with a harlot? Hello, everybody okay? Listen, folks, I'm trying to help you. Amen. I don't think you understand. I mean, here's a woman over here, and man, she just comes in begging and crying, and he insults her right off the top. It ain't good to take the children's meat and cast it to the dogs. She said, "Yea, of a truth, Lord. Even the dogs desire crumbs that fall from the master's table." And he said, "I ain't found no faith like that around here. That beats all I ever seen. I'm going to heal your daughter." And they got mad at him. They couldn't understand him. They couldn't figure out, what is he doing hanging around them sinners? Don't they know he's eating with sinners? Don't they know he's fellowshipping with sinners? Hello, are you with me tonight? I don't think you understand. Amen. Did I mention I'm talking about a marriage made in heaven? Amen. I mean, here's these people. They're trying to live right. They're trying to follow Jesus. And they don't think that she ought to be attracted to him. They don't think them girls ought to have anything to do with him, much less him them.
Right.
I don't think you understand. Well, let's bring it a little closer home. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, amen. Everybody okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look with me please at verse number 9. Watch your Bible now. The Bible says, "Know ye not." Amen. "That the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." That didn't hit you yet, huh? Well, stay with me. Verse 10. "Nor thieves," that got you. "Nor covetous," that nailed you hard. "Nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Can I just tell you something tonight? I'm going to help you. Can I help you? I'm going to just, I'll play your part and my part. Can I do that? Guilty. 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 We're all guilty. But God Almighty said, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed." Amen. We were everything that the devil could make somebody.
Right. Right. Yep.
but God. I don't think you understand. Look at Titus chapter 3. Titus. 1 and 2 Timothy. Titus chapter number 3. Everybody okay? Titus chapter 3. Look with me, please. And look at verse number 3. Now, these passages we read, they're about as insulting to God as you can get. Titus chapter 3, look at verse 3. Bible says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Watch verse 6. Which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior,
amen,
that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
Amen.
I don't think you understand. Go to 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 11. 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. We was just over there, preacher. Well, good. Go back there again, please. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. I'm just trying to help you. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Amen. Listen, our thoughts are wrong. Our actions are wrong. I mean everything. Our deeds are wrong. Our ways are wrong. Nothing good about you.
Right,
amen. But God.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 11, look at verse, let's see, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. Watch, for I have espoused you to one husband,
amen,
that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. Are you listening?
Amen.
I'm telling you, hey, you have been picked out, separated, and made ready to marry Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You're going to be His bride.
Amen.
He's going to be your husband. And you have absolutely nothing,
amen,
in common with Him.
Amen.
Amen.
Can I give you one more verse? I'm going to hurry and preach about 2 minutes. Amen. Give or take. Ephesians 2. We'll go there quickly. Ephesians chapter 2. Everybody all right? Ephesians chapter 2. Amen. Look at this now. Ephesians chapter 2. Bible says, verse number 1. And you hath He quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Is that what you're saying? Verse 4.
Thank you, Lord. You're right.
But God,
that's right,
who who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. When was that, preacher? When you had nothing in common. Even verse 5, when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Watch, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm telling you, folks, I never had one thing in common with Jesus. Not his music. I didn't have his friends in common. I didn't have his clothes in common. I didn't have his actions in common. I didn't have his family in common. I didn't have his vocabulary in common. I didn't have his background in common. I didn't have his future in common. I didn't have his culture in common. There's no reason why God ought to save me. It's beyond my thinking. I don't understand it. And I can't imagine why he would save a wretched, hell-deserving, rut-God sinner like I am. But God, who is rich in mercy, I'm telling you, you don't have no reason tonight why God ought to spare your life. But thank God Almighty, he took me just like I was. Amen. I used to ride by the church house where I later became a member, throw beer cans out in the yard, cuss the preacher, make a mockery of the church, blaspheme the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm telling you, all he had to do was send another drunk driver over the hilltop and hit me in the headlights and throw me in hell where I deserve. You hear what I'm saying? I remember a time when I stood up in a Pizza Inn in Lancaster, South Carolina, in the chair after being in a drunken stupor, and sang four verses of Amazing Grace. I sat down, my head fell in the pizza, and I passed out. I woke up the next day, or whenever it was, in bed, well, with a headache. But God, God should have snapped my neck. God should have picked me up by the nap of my hair, flung me into hell like a grease ball bearing on a plate. God, are you listening to me? I'm telling you, there's no reason. We had nothing in common. We didn't have kin in common. We didn't have love in common. We didn't have freedom in common. We didn't have speech in common. We didn't have our meals in common. There's no reason why he should love me. But thank God Almighty, he loves me. Amen. Yeah,
thank God.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Lord.
You're right, Richard. Thank God.
At last and did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die. Hey, are you listening to me, folks? There ain't no reason. God don't owe you anything. You're sitting in church on a padded pew by the grace of God. Air conditioner blowing in your face by the grace of God. You're not already in hell because of the grace of God.
Amen.
Why? Give me one good reason. One good reason why God ought to save your sorry hide.
Amen.
You don't have one.
Amen.
And yet God said, come now. Let us reason together.
Amen.
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 I was riding down a road in Columbia, South Carolina. One late one afternoon, it was so hot, about 104 degrees, a rabbit chasing a dog and they was both walking. Amen. Greyhound bus was going down the highway and the dog was on the inside. It was hot. And then all of a sudden, it came up one of them Columbia, South Carolina thunderstorms. Comes up in about 5 minutes, gone in 10. Just rain, just enough to bring all that oil up to the top of the surface of those roads. I was right in front of the prison camp. All them prisoners out there with their arms hanging out watching me come down that hill on my Harley Davidson. They thought, boy, now there's the life. I know what they thought. And I tell you, I didn't realize it. And I was riding through there and I seen, and at the very bottom is a hairpin curve. It goes like that. And I seen that curve too late. And on that scooter, I just tapped the brake. And when I tapped the brake, that bike came out from under me and went down the highway like that. And I came off the bike and went down the highway like that. And I didn't realize it till later. There was a pickup truck right behind me. And when he saw it, he slammed on brakes. I could hear the tires squalling. And I closed my eyes and reached up like that. Why, I don't know. But when I reached up, the front of his truck, caught me by the hands and drug me about maybe 10, 15 yards down the highway. When he came to a stop, I was looking up at the motor underneath the truck. I pulled myself out from under that truck. And that old man, I'll never forget it, long as I live. He got out of that truck and come running around the front. He was probably 65, 70 years old, shaking like a leaf. He just knew he had killed me. I slid out from under that truck. And that old man said, son, are you all right? And I cussed him. And I cussed him. And I cussed God. And I ran down there and snatched that bike up. And down the road I went and never looked back. Now you look at me. God should have snapped me in half and flung me in hell. I deserved it. He would have been just and let me go to hell. Do you hear what I'm saying? You say, why didn't he, preacher? But God.
Amen.
Who is rich in mercy. I don't know why. I can't explain why. I can't tell you for the life of me. I don't know why. I would have threw me in hell. And I hate to even think what was happened to that old man after I left. He might have had a heart attack. There's no telling. Now listen to me, folks. I could go on. I could tell you story after story of times when God would have been just in breaking my neck and throwing me in hell. And I can't even fathom the times that I don't know. And did I mention we had nothing in common? No reason why he would want to marry me.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
In and out of alcohol and drug rehabs. I used to come home out drinking and carousing. Come home in the morning, daylight. My little boy would be up eating cereal. And when I walk in the door, he'd run and hide in the closet because Daddy was home. And he knew what was coming. I hate myself. I abhor myself. I never forget. In a 6 weeks detox program in the Charlotte Treatment Center. Some of you have heard my story. First 3 weeks I was in there, the man that was my pastor and my uncle, he's now going to be with the Lord.
Amen.
He came in every other day like clockwork. He'd come in, and when he'd come in, he'd quote me scriptures. Now, Joe, you know the Bible says the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. You know, Joe, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he'd do that. He'd stay about 15 minutes, quote me 8 or 10 scriptures and leave. Pray and leave. He'd leave and I could just fuss at him in my mind. What's that idiot doing in here? I can't believe he'd come in and quote me scriptures like that. And I'll never forget that Tuesday afternoon, going into the fourth week, and he didn't come by. I was heartbroken. I was looking for him. He didn't show up. But he sent somebody better.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
I had lost my family, my job. My wife had just left a week before and told me to go to hell. She is never coming back. Could I just stop right there and say something to you? Never's a long time.
Right.
You be careful about saying never. I'll never do this or that.
Amen.
So why is that, preacher? Because she's back.
Yeah.
Same one that left. And I was laying there, and the Spirit of God began to speak to me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I contemplated putting a gun to my head and ending it all. Had one out there in the truck outside. The Lord just spoke to me just as clear as a bell.
Amen.
He said, you can end it all today, but it don't end today.
That's right.
He said, and it'll only get worse from here. I'm telling you, he showed me what would happen to my life had I ended it. I'd be in an eternal hell that he had been trying to keep me out of for years. You say, Brother Joe, what'd you do? Well, I slipped off the bed and I got down on my knees beside that bed. And I said, God, this is Joe.
Yeah.
I don't know how to pray.
Yeah, right.
I sure would appreciate it if you wouldn't mind saving me very much.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I didn't know. I didn't understand the Bible. Didn't know nothing about it. I didn't know I was supposed to repent of my sins or it didn't count.
Yeah, right.
Go ahead.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And I couldn't have named them off. It took me a day.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I just know this. I was brokenhearted for the first time in my life my condition.
Mm.
And I begged him to save me.
Amen.
And all I know is, today I can understand it a little more than I could then.
Oh, yeah.
But I know this. When I got up from beside that bed, And I left a little puddle of tears on the floor. But I got up different than the way I went down. There was something changed about me.
Thank you, Lord.
I can explain it a little more today. But I think you get the point.
Amen.
You see, folks?
Yes, sir.
We had nothing in common.
Right. Thank you, Lord.
They would have never put us together on matchmakers.com.
Thank you, Lord.
Even you don't have to be lonely at farmersonly.com. But I can promise you this, as Jesus Christ is my Savior,
amen.
And the Holy Spirit of God speaks through me, one day very soon, there's going to be a wedding.
Amen.
And the bride hath made herself ready.
Amen.
I'm ready to go.
Amen.
Are you ready to go?
Amen.
Stand with me.